Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, Participating in Mission, based on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Mrs. Megan Dennis is at the console of the organ, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Well, good morning. Great to see you all here this morning. I see, it just filled up. I was going to say no one wanted to sit in the splash zone. That's how I know it, that first pew in front of the pulpit with all the spraying. But we got one brave soul to take it up. But a special welcome to all the guests and visitors we have with us this morning. A special welcome to all those who are here in connection with the St. Paul 3rd through 5th grade choir. We are so glad you could be here with us to spread your gifts and to lead us in some worship and some songs later on in the service. We look forward to that. And other than that, we begin with our opening hymn number 655, Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro, it comes from select verses from Psalm 121. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. From where does my help come? The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be to God on high. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the St. Paul's Choir is invited to come up and lead us into some music. So much for sharing that music with us. Our Old Testament reading for this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to love, to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Well, some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will be no left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them, and when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to imitate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of our adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain for yourself, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its destruction has come near, or desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and not let those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. I will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and the foreboding of what is coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This This is the gospel of our Lord. At this time, we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our hymn of the day, number 783. From God our Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So believe it or not, we are finally coming to the end of another church year, which means that Pentecost season is about to be over. In fact, next week will be the last Sunday of the church calendar year. And let's be honest, if you're anything like me, you're probably not going to miss Pentecost all that much. mean, seriously, it feels like we've been in Pentecost forever. It's just been going on and on. And here today marks the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. You know, after a while, after 5 full months of Pentecost, its significance seems to wear off a bit. Every Sunday for the past 5 months, you've heard me or another pastor stand at the lectern and say, the readings for this 15th, 20th, 23rd Sunday after Pentecost comes from blank. Seriously, after 23 weeks of this season, it stops feeling special. Rather, it's just been dragging on and it's lost its wow factor. But since we are coming to an end of the church year, and since we are coming to the close of another Pentecost season, I thought it would be a great time, a great day to stop in and reflect a little bit. On one hand, to reflect on the past, we'll look again at what God has done at Pentecost, what he has done in his love, in his grace and mercy, and then on the other hand, reflect on the future and what God will do, what he promises and what he plans for our future and what we will become. And then finally, we will also reflect on our own lives and what we do today, how that fits into this grand narrative. We will see how our lives fit in into these past and future events. And so before we jump into our epistle reading this morning, I want to just take a moment and talk briefly again about Pentecost. Since we have indeed been observing Pentecost these past few months, we should at least remind ourselves what this season has all been about. If you remember, Pentecost was marked by, or it marks, the birth of the church. It was when God sent his Holy Spirit upon believers. The Spirit came upon the hearts and upon the minds of the apostles, and the church continued to grow rapidly. It multiplied, and the Spirit just kept falling upon and being poured on people. More and more Christians just kept coming to the faith, and so Pentecost is this explosive growth of Christianity out into the world. The saving grace of God reaching all nations. The truth of Jesus Christ was being proclaimed. Jesus' death and his resurrection from the grave was bringing life to all people. Forgiveness of sins in his name. The gospel just kept going out. And this saving grace of God was reaching all nations. The truth of Jesus Christ was being proclaimed. And in all of this, there's obviously a lot that comes with Pentecost, right? It was the start of global missions. It was a time of incredible unity for the church. Christians are said to have had all things in common. They were constantly building one another up. But beyond that, what's most iconic and significant of Pentecost is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in the hearts and minds of believers. God is literally, because of Pentecost, abiding and living in your lives. This is the great mystery of it all, that at any time, God is with you. In a literal sense, it's beyond our understanding that God is somehow inside of you. If you are a Christian, if you've been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. And at every moment, God is therefore abiding with you. He's living, he's working, he's active, he's present. That Christ, the hope of glory, is within you. This is what Pentecost is all about. And so as we reflect in the past, we should be coming to an increasing awareness of the presence of God. Pentecost is about living in this reality that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work inside of you. And so Pentecost, as we reflect, is simply about living in God. It's about dwelling in his word and living the Christian life to its fullness. this truth will continue to be our present reality until Jesus comes again. Now, Jesus is coming again to judge the world. There's coming a day when God will separate all the sheep from the goats. He'll separate the wheat from the tares and the unbelievers from the believers. And that's where we are today. We're currently living between these two major events. One marked by Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is living in you, and the other marked by God coming again to judge the world. And as the church year comes to a close, as I was saying, this is a great time to reflect on how our lives fit into this reality. We reflect on how this reality of the Holy Spirit in you is being lived out today. Because in all of this, a time is coming when all of our deeds, like we were saying, will be judged. Our works and the fruit of our labors will be judged according to the will of God and His Word. And at the end of time, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, nothing else will matter. There will only be the kingdom of God and the new perfect creation. The only things that will matter in this life today is Jesus Christ, in whom you have forgiveness of sins, and what you have done to serve your neighbor. The only things that matter in this life are faith in Jesus Christ and serving your neighbor physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And so when you reflect on your life, when you think about your past, what comes to mind? Do you see a life that's defined by the power of God and the Spirit of God living in you? Do you see a life abiding in power and in the love of God? Do you see a sanctified life? You know, a life that's lived out with selfless giving, of fervent prayer, of sacrificial love for others. Because, dear friends, that is the power of God in our lives. Not that that stuff will save you or that it will somehow earn you salvation. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But because, simply, that is what God desires for you. That is God's will for your life. Because the story, it doesn't end when Jesus rises from the dead. There's much more to the New Testament. There's a lot more that follows after Jesus dies from your sins. He has since given you His Holy Spirit so that you may live for Him. And of course, though, such a life doesn't seem to be our reality, right? We still have our sinful flesh. We still struggle with sin. We're full of pride and selfishness. We still have all our fallen and corrupt human nature. And in our epistle reading this morning, the last thing that Paul says to us is this. He says, "Do not grow weary in doing good." What a simple and yet wise words. Because that's always going to be our temptation, right? To grow tired in doing what's right. You know, you can help out around the church. There can be absolutely no thanks for you. There's always going to be one more thing that needs to be done. No one else is doing their part. And you just get exhausted. You want to throw in the towel. But Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. This is pleasing to God. This is why you have the Holy Spirit to serve and to live for others. Or again, you try to stop gossiping lips that are going on around you. You try to stand up for a sister in the faith who's being slandered against. And then all of a sudden, people stop socializing with you altogether. It gets tiresome. It gets tiresome to do good, and you fall out of social circles, and you're just trying to do a little good. And the temptation is to just cave in and to start living for yourself. It's mentally exhausting. You want to quit, but Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. Continue fighting the good fight, for this is pleasing to God. And the same can be said for any number of good works. You know, it can be said of praying. I mean, you can be exhausted after just 4 minutes of praying on your bed, and you just fall asleep. Or maybe you get tired of doing your job, of working, and you realize you can probably get away with slacking off a bit. I mean, your coworkers do. Or kids, you know this one of, you certainly get tired and exhausted of doing homework. The temptation is always going to be to slack off, but these are all good works. They're all good things, and Paul encourages us, saying, don't grow tired in doing them. For this is why you have been given the Holy Spirit. This is why he abides with you, so that your life, you would have the strength and power to serve your neighbor out in your vocation. Dear friends, this is a very tall order. In fact, this is God's will for your life, and we should be doing the best to be living accordingly, according to God's plan, according to what's good for us and our neighbor. But even still, you can't do that alone. And no matter what, we can never do it perfectly. We're still going to grow weary. We're still bound to get tired and impatient. But thanks be to God that through it all, there is still grace to be found for when we fall. For all of our shortcomings, God has never grown tired of doing good for you. He has never grown tired of forgiving you, of loving you, or of showing you his mercy. Even though we can despise all of his gifts, there is still forgiveness in Christ. Jesus has died for you, and he will never grow weary in doing good. He never has. Even when he was whipped, he was flogged, he was beaten and crucified, and he served, but he served only other people. Through it all, he did only good as he suffered and died for the forgiveness of your sins. And in doing so, he made you right with God. Jesus has ensured that you would be a recipient of the Holy Spirit, forgiven, but with the power to live for him. And may we walk in this truth until the end of our days. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, you are living and active in the lives of all believers. We ask that you would strengthen our holy church here on earth. Through the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us, we pray that you would strengthen our faith, strengthen our lives and our wills, that we may live for you and for our neighbor. Guide us to put away sin and to live according to your good pleasure. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of peace, we lift before you our nation and communities. We ask that you would hinder all evil. May those who wish to do harm come to realize the errors of their ways. Convict the consciences of those who plan evil or otherwise prevent their plans from taking place. Lord, in your mercy. God of order and servitude, we pray for our nation and for the governing authorities who rule over us. We ask that you would heal the wounds and divisions that exist in our country. Lead us as your children to be quick to listen to those who disagree with us, and lead us that we would do our best to love all people according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. God of wisdom and understanding, we pray for our children here who attend both public and private schools. We ask that you would continue to love, protect, and nurture the faith and well-being of all of our kids. Wherever they go, Lord, we ask that you would surround them with godly parents, teachers, and other role models. Keep them safe from harm's way and protect them from making silly and foolish decisions. Lord, in your mercy. And God of life, we thank you and we rejoice with Betty Brandt as she has celebrated her 89th birthday this past week. We give you thanks and praise for the long life that you have given her. And we thank you that she has been a witness and all these years has been a spokesperson of you and a person who has glorified you throughout her community. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we thank you for the fabulous surgery of Cindy and Mike. We thank you for keeping them both safe during this stressful time. We ask that you continue to strengthen them back to full health, that they may again worship and glorify you in a community of believers. Likewise, Lord, we thank you for all these weeks that we've been praying for Bill and Kathy Taylor. We thank you for all you have done in their lives, and we ask that you continue to strengthen them in their faith as they continue on living for you. Also, we pray for Rodney Vogelsmeyer, who is having surgery on his shoulder this week. We pray that you keep him safe and that you correct any physical difficulties that he is going with. And gracious Lord, we lift up all others also who are struggling with the pain of this life, including Pat, Carrie, Mary, Charles, Carol, Melissa, Nancy, Cindy, Vicky, Neil, Dorinda, John, Erica, Judy, Debbie, and Dorothy. Lord, we ask that you continue to be with them and surround them with loving brothers and sisters in the faith who can be a support and comfort to them during their troubles. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we pray to you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith.
Congregation, please stand for the singing of the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our departing hymn is number 750. You may be seated.